Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. I believe that, do you? I believe that if we will pray with maximum prayer effort, God will bless. If you get an opportunity, look at Acts chapter 12, verse 5 sometime this afternoon. That's what we use, not as a proof text, but as the biblical example of maximum prayer effort. Those words actually come out of a commentary on the word that is used for concentrated prayer by the first church when Peter was arrested. It means to the stretching of the ligaments. They got physically involved when their pastor was in prison. I can tell you as a pastor, I hope and pray that you guys would do the same. I joke all the time about, you know, if I did something wrong, well, I'd just start a prison ministry. It's a joke. Have no desire to go to prison. Church, listen to me. If it comes to the day where you and I are imprisoned because of our faith, and please, surely we're awake by now, that's happening all over the world. And it could happen here. Surely, this and every body that would, I'm talking about the church, every body that claims the name of Jesus, surely they would pray with maximum prayer effort. Now watch this. Well, if we would do it then, why don't we do it now to avoid that? Amen. Let's do it now. And I'm telling you, folks, the midterm elections are worth your midterm prayer, your maximum prayer effort. I mean it with all my heart. All right, it's the only one I plan on, political plug, today. Because this is what I said in the first service, and it's just good enough that we can say it again. What if things don't go our way? I have no idea if we're all on the same political spectrum, but I'm kind of assuming that you're at church. Most, if not all of us, would say that we try to adhere to what this book says. So in this day and age, that puts you in a certain political spectrum. It does, if you're going to live it out. And so with that said, what if, quote unquote, everything goes kablooey, and it could, politically, midterm election? I'm done. No! No! You're going to do the same thing if everybody that you wants to win wins. Because, folks, the political system has failed us up to this point, no matter who's in charge. They have. And so it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, fill in the blank, libertarian. This is the key. The Word of God, the men and women of God, the Church of God is the key. You're going to have faith. You're going to have faith that God can, if he can take King Nebuchadnezzar and turn him around, He can handle anybody. He can handle anybody. And so with that said, the challenge today is the legacy. What's your legacy going to be? The legacy of faith. Would you stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting, that means that Abraham accounted, he thought in his heart and soul, this is so, that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Father, change us to look more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to see yourself, if you will, in a room, individually, all alone with God. And God today, through his messenger, is asking you this question: what do you want your legacy to be? In your heart and soul, I want you to wrestle with that for a moment. What do you want your legacy to be? Church, we're going to leave a legacy. Maybe a legacy of nothing. Maybe a legacy of amazing industry and hard work and the such and hallelujah. But if it's not a legacy that impacts people for the gospel of Christ, in 10 million years, your legacy will have no effect. None, including mine. If my legacy, if the actions of my life beyond what goes on right here, if the story, if you will, if the message of my life does not reverberate the gospel 10 years after I'm gone, very few people besides my wife and children will care or know about Ben Kingston type thing. What do you want your legacy to be? Abraham did something that lasted at least 3 generations, and we know it lasted a lot more than that. And that's why he is included again in this chapter of faith. Faith is the substance. It's what's in the test tube of life. It's the substance of things hoped for. He was promised a nation, and he had one kid. And then God said, give him back by killing him. Wow. Wow. Now, church, listen to me. With a congregation this size, and I said the same thing to First Service, not everybody in here is necessarily going to know the history of Israel. It's all in the Old Testament to read. If any of this, you're like, whoa, what, wait a minute, please take time this afternoon and this week to read up, because it will impact you. And it will help you understand the high points, if you will, of this message. And hopefully it will get you through some of the things that a hang up maybe of the message. It's so extremely important that we understand, but we don't have the time today to cover the historical background of these verses, so we're going to hit the high points. First of all, I want to define a legacy. What is the word legacy? What does it mean? Well, you know that I do the 1828 app, and it says a bequest. I can't speak for you, but it aggravates me when someone defines a word with a word that I need the definition for. Legacy is a bequest. Well, guess what a bequest is? A bequest is something left by will. You're giving something. Your legacy is what you are leaving to your loved ones and beyond. What do you want your legacy to be? A legacy is something you leave for those behind to either follow and aspire to or reject and overcome. And church, we for sure don't want to leave a legacy that those that follow us have to reject it. I'm not going to be like that. Or overcome it. I have the same struggles. We want to be the example of how to overcome those struggles. I want mine to be a life of faith and obedience to my Creator. Now in this scripture, when we read these verses, if we're not careful, and I'm going to tell you, this is my favorite part of the sermon. We put these men on a pedestal. And we start down that familiar road of arguing why it was easy for them and it is impossible for us to do these same things. If we're not careful, this is what we say. Well, these were great men. I'm not. These men heard from God. I do not. These men had great opportunity. I do not. Can I lovingly address each one of those? And we're not anywhere close to the points of the sermon, so just relax. We're going to be here a while. These were great. You're exercising faith right now. I can see it. Oh, Lord, help him, please, the state of the time slot that he's been given. Just relax. Watch this. These men were great men. I am not. If we're not careful, we put these men, we put the folks that teach our Sunday school classes, we put the folks that teach our Awana classes, we put the deacons, we put the staff. If we're not careful, we put them on a pedestal. and we listen to Paul, and we listen to Abraham, and we listen to all these guys, and if we're not careful, yep, that's great for those guys, because they're great people. These guys were scoundrels. Abraham was a liar. Twice he told his wife, "You tell him you're my sister." And even though that was genetically accurate to some level, she was kin. Remember, we're still back in the day that, you know, you got to find your loved one at the family reunion type thing. And there's an explanation for that, a completely biblical, reasonable explanation. I love it. Watch this. I know some of you take that microphone away from him. Just relax. Church, he tells his wife to lie. And she did. And exactly what he was trying to keep from happening, which was some man going, "Woo-hoo-hoo, she's hot," and grabbing her, that happened. Because, you see, his fear was, if they see you and all your beauty, they're going to think, and she's married to him, and now she's available to marry. But guess what happened when she said, "I'm not married"? The king of that area said, "You mine now." And now all of a sudden, Abraham's wife, and God had to intervene. God stepped in between the king of that area and Sarah and said, "You better not touch this woman." And the guy's like, "Whoa! I didn't know." Church, listen to me. These men were fallible. They were not capable of error. They were prone to error, as all of us are. And I'm telling you right now that the same ability, opportunity to greatness lies in you that lied in them. And folks, church, it's about assignment. It's not about this guy's great, this guy. It's about assignment. We're always going to gravitate towards the Charles Stanleys, towards the Franklin Grahams and the Billy Grahams, because we see all the massive stuff. The only reason they did that, because that was their assignment and they exercised faith in God. Your assignment in God's economy is just as important, or he wouldn't have given it to you. And you have the ability to do what God has called you to do. You're great. You just happen to be fallible. And if you'll exercise faith, you'll overcome that. These men heard from God. "I do not." You ready? Fix a stomp on your toes. They listened. It wasn't that God said, "Well, I like Abraham better than everybody else." No. He knew he would listen. Church, if you will show yourself someone that will listen, God will speak to you. Number one, are you made? And this isn't my points. I'm talking about under this, are you listening? Number one, are you given time in each day to just listen? Reporting for duty, Lord. Is there a particular assignment for today? Just give the Lord a chance. Watch this. Let him talk to you. Let him talk to you. Get into his book. I don't know where to start. Proverbs. Start with Proverbs. The book of John. Excellent place to start. Get in God's word. The Lord will speak to you through his word. They made themselves available to him. These men had great opportunity. Now, I compared this to the poor sap right after the Super Bowl, right after the college, whatever. Right after a sporting event, the World Series, some guy says this phrase, "This is the greatest day of my life." And the poor wife is over there, "Well, I thought our wedding was pretty good." The poor child, "Well, I thought my birth was pretty important." Fathers, moms, you look at those precious children that God has given you. You have great opportunity. Brothers, sisters, you look at those brothers and sisters around you. You have great opportunity. You look at your work folks at work. You look at the school folks at school. You have great opportunity. Church, the only reason that D.L. Moody became the guy that he became to reach the world, if you will, in America at that time, was because of Edward Kimball, who was a Sunday school teacher. And he followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit to go into a shoe store and interrupt this man's job and shared the gospel with him. Every one of you have great opportunity. And we need to realize it, and we need to exercise faith, because, folks, that's our legacy. SAS, Sermon in a Sentence. God uses fallible men and women who listen and obey to accomplish their God-given assignments, which result in a legacy of faith. God uses fallible men and women who listen and obey to accomplish their God-given assignments, which result in a legacy of faith. Point number one. Biblical faith will always find a stage. Biblical faith will always find a stage. In my most humble opinion, and we can argue about this later if you want to. In my most humble opinion, Abraham was settled in his faith, how far he was going to go from God. This happened for me at college. At college, I woke up to the world. I'm telling you the truth, church. In college, I did not know what the word abortion meant. All of you regulars, you know what I'm fixing to say, because I use it often. My brother and I, shamefully, shame was on my end, had an unbelievable, ignorant conversation about abortion. He was broken over what our nation was doing to the unborn. And he was trying to tell me, and I kept looking at him incredulously saying, "Tony, I don't know what planet you're coming from, but we're not doing that. We've been doing it since 1972. Tony, listen to me. I'm telling you, this great nation of America would never rip a child out of its mother's womb and destroy it. What fantasy world are you listening to?" And he finally said, "Ben, I don't know what else to tell you, but you need to research it." And it broke my heart when I discovered that we do. As the United States of America, we allow the murder of unborn children. Watch this, church. You see, it's at that point right there that I realized that me serving God could get really serious. Because, church, the people that believe in these social ills of our day, they're serious. They've absolutely committed their lives, if you will, to it. We better be just as committed. And if we're not, we're probably not going to take the loving stands that we need to take. But if and when we do take the loving stands that we need to take, there's going to be a cost. And you see, Abraham had already settled it. Abraham had settled it in his life. Whatever God asks of me, I'm going to do it. I don't think he knew that God was going to ask for his son, but when he did, I'm sure he had his dark night of the soul. I'm sure he wrestled, he pounded the floor and tried to beg another way. But he finally realized this is God's will for my life. And he cooperated with it. And I believe at that point, and again, it's all there to read in the Old Testament, as he's going up that mount and he's got a load of wood on Isaac's back and he's got his dagger on his side, his son is dead in his mind. But what does the scripture say? The scripture says that he accounted it to God that if he carried through, God would raise him from the dead. So this was simply a test. I believe that with all my heart, he had come to that place. And by God's grace, I'm going to pass the test. And Abraham had his arms up and his knife ready to plunge, and one of God's angels stopped him and said, "No, sir. No, sir." And all of a sudden, we hear something rustling in the back. And you know what it is? It's a ram caught in the thicket. God provided himself a lamb. And it was that. Now, church, listen to me. Do you think Isaac had any problem exercising faith in God, knowing that his dad was willing to sacrifice him, that God would raise him from the dead? He was there, folks. He saw the knife up. He saw the ram. He enjoyed the sacrifice that it wasn't him. And he realized, "Dad's serious about this. God's serious about providing for my dad. I believe I'll just trust him. And it just goes right down the line. Point number one, biblical faith will always find a stage. Church, if you and I perform well on that stage, the legacy has begun. Now, let's just chill down just for a second, okay? Let's go from sacrificing children, because God does not want that. God does not ask that. I'm going to tell you straight up, I can't explain why God did that, because God forbids that. You follow what I'm saying? So you don't ever have to worry about God asking you to sacrifice your living child to him. Praise the Lord. But the next time you're at the dinner table at fill-in-the-blank restaurant, and the Holy Spirit, and we've talked about this quite a bit, the Holy Spirit lays it on your heart to ask the server, what could we pray for you about? There's your stage of sacrifice. There's your stage of faith. What's your legacy going to be? The next time you're at the table going through the bills and one comes up and it's... yeah, it's one of those bills. What happened? Type thing. Are your kids going to see a ranting, raving situation? And watch this. They're going to see that sooner or later. What do they see after it? What does a man and woman after God's own heart do after they've done the wrong thing? They do the right thing. They call everybody in and say, okay, you saw Dad have a little temper tantrum there. I'm sorry. That wasn't right. I've asked God to forgive me. I'm now asking you to forgive me. But listen, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust God that he'll meet this need. Church, you need to gather your family around on occasion and ask for something that God needs to provide for you. Maybe it's boldness to witness at your work. Maybe it's for finances, whatever the case may be. You need to find a stage to exhibit your faith in front of your children. There is a reason all of Abraham's children and grandchildren are listed in this legacy, because Grandpa so knocked it out of the park, his descendants never got over it. He drew a line in the sand and said, I will not hold anything in my life back from you. You, God, are my everything. You gave me this child, and this child will bear my descendants. If you require him as a sacrifice by my hand, then I believe you will raise him from the dead. So what are the stages in your life that you can demonstrate faith for your family and others to see? Folks, any and area of life can be that. Family life, work life, leisure life, financial life. As you rise up, the Bible says, and as you lie down, teach these things to your children. Number two, biblical faith sees relationships as important as God does. Look at verse 20. Got to find it. There it is. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He blessed them. Now, this word means two things in the Old Testament culture. It means that there was a ceremony, a time that those children came and he blessed them. He blesses the oldest with the elder portion, and then he blesses the youngest with whatever's left type thing. Watch this, church. But it also refers to the physical touch that a father should give to his children. It refers to the affirming love that moms and dads should give to their children. It's called the blessing. And it's so important that our parents do that. It's so important that we do that for each other. I encourage the first service, if you don't know what the five love languages is, go buy the book. We need to do that. Biblical faith sees relationships as important as God does. The possessions will pale in comparison to the powerful relationships that you have with your kids and your loved ones if you will put your effort in that area. It's so important. And you know I have no problem with possessions. May the Lord bless every one of you financially with material possessions. But I'm asking so much more that God will bless you with relational blessing. We need to invest in each other, because that's going to last for 10 million years and beyond. The blessing was referring to a ceremony and a physical touch between parents and children. Number three, biblical faith wastes no opportunity to show reliance through ceremony. Now, this is very interesting. here in verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, I like that, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Again, if you don't know the history, the entire 12-tribe nation of Israel have been brought to Egypt because they were starving to death. God sent Joseph via slavery to Egypt beforehand because their brothers loved Joseph so much, they sold him into slavery. Yes, that was irony. Satire. Watch this. Joseph worked his way up through the prison system and became second in charge in Egypt. And he provided for the entire known world through 7 years of preparation of good and plenty for the 7 years of famine that was coming. And when the famine hit, the entire nation of Israel came to Egypt. Well, this was great while Joseph was alive. But it was coming that it was going to get bad. For 400 years, they were slaves to Egypt. Church, Jacob is dying. He's old. He is to the place that physical exertion hurts. He is to the place that he needs to stay, if you will, in a prone position. But he knows how important this is. He knows how important it is to pass on the legacy of faith. He gets up and he leans on his staff because it's the only way he can do it. And he touches the sons of Joseph and blesses them. Listen to what the point is again. Biblical faith wastes no opportunity to show reliance through ceremony. Church, it's so important that we just stop at times and say, look what God did. Look what just happened. And we make sure and spike that situation with ceremony. And Jacob's, he's going out. And he says, wait a minute. It's my responsibility to pass this blessing on. And I'm going to do it. Help me up, guys. Help me up. Give me my staff. And so Joseph's little ones come around. And he's hurting, church. But he's going to do what he needs to do to make sure those kids know there's someone that's going to help you in life. The Bible says that, again, as you rise up and as you lie down, talk about what God does. We need to look for opportunities. So let's do something right here and now. I did this in first service. Somebody told me something that I've never gotten over. Dawn and I saw a church go from 390 to 600, so I know it can be done in 2 years' time. And every time we baptized somebody, every time somebody came and joined the church, Jerry Jolly said this, "Church, don't take it for granted. It could stop at any time." We just had two people come and join the church, first by making a profession of faith recently and then following in scriptural baptism. And guess what? We're having a baptism next Sunday in second service. Jessica Wagner is going to be baptized and join the church. Let's give the Lord a hand. It's been a long time since we've baptized two Sundays in a row. Too long. Thank you, Brother Brad. Listen to me, church. If we baptize three Sundays in a row, something unbaptistic may happen. Let's put it to the test. Let's put it to the test. I thought something mean, Brother Gavin. I'll move on. Number four, when he said amen, amen. Here we go. Number four, biblical faith acts upon the future as if it is reality. Biblical faith acts upon the future as if it is reality. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He said, these guys weren't slaves yet. He said to all his family, "I don't know when it's going to happen, but God's going to take his nation back out of Egypt. And when he does, I want you to take my bones because I don't want to stay here. God brought me here for a purpose, but this is not my home. My home is wherever God's nation is. You take my bones with you." Watch this. He was being prophetic, and he was exercising faith. You know why he could do that? Because God had given the promise. You're going to a promised land, and it's not Egypt. Church, in the Bible, Egypt represents sin. Canaan represents abundant living. If you're living in sin, you're living in Egypt. And you need to go to Canaan. And the Bible, listen, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. And we all need to exercise faith and we need to get out of the land of Egypt. We need to quit sinning and we need to get to the land of Canaan where we follow Christ by faith. He told them, you take my bones with you. Biblical faith sees, I've got to read it again, acts upon the future as if it is reality. Because if God has promised by himself, it is reality. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. Church, that's a promise. We need to claim it by faith and exercise it. Will you stand, musicians? Will you come? You've been so, so attentive. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What's God calling you to do? Are you here today and you might be like Chris was a few weeks ago and knowing that you need to come to Christ, knowing that you need to accept him. And Chris did that. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb. Are you ready to do that today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to exercise faith today in Christ and become a believer, this is an invitation. We're asking you to come forward. We'll send you with someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Is God asking you to take a step of faith at work? Is he asking you to take a step of faith at home to lead your wife and children, to lead your family scripturally, spiritually, for the glory of God? Is he asking you to take a stand in your city, in your neighborhood, whatever the case may be? Let's ask God to give us biblical faith. Father, we ask you to work in this auditorium. Lord, we stand here ready. Give us your word. Speak to us what you'd have us do. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Let's sing.